This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Shahzana Mokhtar. We are turning our attention to the Selangor State budget, which was tabled last week. The Selangor State has tabled a 2.34 billion ringgit budget as part of the state's efforts to strengthen the economy post-pandemic.
So the state has also estimated that it can collect 2.05 billion ringgit in taxes next year. However, this will result in a deficit of 293 million ringgit, around double the previous year's deficit. The theme of this year's budget is Kita Selangor, State Withstanding Tests, Raising Human Dignity, focuses on five key areas, namely driving high-impact economic growth and improving delivery efficiency, developing a caring society and social well-being, strengthening Selangor's public health agenda, ensuring a green environment and sustainable development, and optimizing smart technology and digitalization.
So five clear priorities there, but does the budget adequately address the needs of the people of Selangor? And what are the strategies for it to achieve its five key areas of focus? This morning, we're getting reactions to the Selangor budget from both sides of the political aisle in the Selangor State Assembly. We'll start with YB Datuk Muhammad Imran Tamrin, Sungai Panjang State Assemblyman and a member of UMNO. Good morning, Datuk Imran. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning. Can we start with what your overall impressions of the budget were? Do you feel that it's balanced and encompasses the right priorities for the state?
For me, for the post-pandemic COVID-19 budget, this budget is actually okay, even though it is a deficit budget. But mostly for the budget, we must focus on several key areas. And for me, as a representing a rural part of Negeri Selangor and our constituency in Sungai Panjang is depending on the agricultural, I would like to be more focused on the digitalizations to improve the agricultural industry in the rural area.
So, I mean, what do you think among these five initiatives will bring the biggest impact for the state? Because you've already given us the backdrop, right, in terms of who the population is and what their needs are.
Our country is now embarking on the 5G. And IoT. So we must focus on the readiness of the state for the 5G network and also the digitalizations. And we must be aware also in terms of the importance about the 5G framework, including the infrastructure and also ecosystem.
So, help me understand this, Dato. Is there a digital divide among your constituents? I mean, is it a question of them not having access to, you know, whether it's a smartphone or laptop, or in the first place, there is no connectivity there?
That's why. Let I just sit down. Regarding the infrastructure, because in my constituency, still, we have several areas where the areas are the blind spot areas. The people and the rakyat cannot access to the internet, or else the government or the state government must work in hand with the federal government, with KKMM especially, in terms of the infrastructure.
That's a really good point you make, Dato Imran, and I'm glad that you're, you know, speaking about the needs of the rural community in Selangor, which I do feel are often overlooked given just how the focus often seems to be on the more developed parts of Selangor. I want to ask you about what you think about the social welfare support provided under Budget 2022. Do you think that's sufficient? Does it address the needs of your constituency in terms of welfare support?
Yes, again, with regard to the rural area, again, we quite left behind because in the budget, Yang Amat Berhormat Datuk Menteri Besar did not really stress on the needs of the farmers, paddy planters and also the fishermen.
So what do you think their needs are then, actually, specifically? What would they like? Would they like, you know, what kind of social welfare programs would they require?
Basically, for them, they need really support on the technologies, knowledge transfers and other welfare support for them and their families, because they are also affected. Because during this pandemic, they really affected because regarding to the whole economic chain.
So what I'm hearing from you is it's not just those one-off cash handouts that are most helpful to families. It's really this long-term initiatives that can help them improve their businesses or their economic activities, essentially like digitalization and technology transfer. It has to be a much more well-thought-out initiative, essentially.
Yes, correct.
I want to ask about another initiative that was announced under this budget, and that was an increase in allocation from 150,000 to 400,000 ringgit for opposition assemblymen. What did you think of this? I mean, do you think this move was long overdue?
Yep. For me, it is fair, but there are room for improvement, especially in terms of similar access to the government initiative, because normally all government initiative will be run by their penyelaras DUN, not us from ADUN, bukan kerajaan. But now I think the government should invite us and include us in whatever initiative that run by government, and we can participate and also do our obligation for the check and balance of each initiative implementations.
And one more question from us, Dato. I mean, how do you think the state government should beef up its public health response based on the pandemic experience?
Actually, I think for the Selangor state government, already doing a good job, especially when they start the initiative for vaccinations to be rolled out throughout the Selangor. We know that during this COVID-19 pandemic, vaccination is very important.
Dato' Imran, thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. That was YB Dato' Imran Muhammad Imran Tamrin, Sungai Panjang State Assemblyman, giving us his comments to the Selangor State Budget 2022. I thought he gave a very interesting perspective. And to hear from a rural constituency compared to where we are in the Bangsar bubble, I think the priorities or concerns that they have are different.
Yeah, and I think this thing, I never thought about the consequence of a digital divide, right? So there are blind spots still in his constituents, and I think that, yeah, clearly has to be addressed. Especially, I can imagine if you have school-going children and they were forced to continue schooling, what happened for them? Did they fall behind at the end of the day?
So just to give some context to where Sungai Panjang is, for those of you who may not be familiar, it's actually at the very tip of the state on the border of Perak. It's right next to Sabah Bernam. It's nearby Sekinchan. So if you are familiar with that area, that's the kind of landscape that we're looking at. All right, it's 8:45 in the morning. We are taking a quick break. And then after that, we'll continue our look at the Selangor Budget 2022 with views from Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. 8:47 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. We're currently reviewing the 2022 Selangor State Budget, which comes in at 2.34 billion ringgit. Earlier, we heard from Sungai Panjang Assemblyman Datuk Muhammad Imran Tamrin, who represents a rural constituency, and he spoke to us about how the digital divide is very clear there and they need more attention on fixing that. For now, though, we're getting the perspective from an urban constituency, and joining us on the line is YB Rajiv Rishikaran, State Assemblyman for Bukit Gasing. Good morning, Rajiv. It's always good to have you. So let's hear your impressions about the budget. Did you feel it was balanced and encompassed the right priorities for the state, especially with regards to your constituency?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show. Yes, I think this budget can be, the best term for it is it's very balanced. It's balanced from the fiscal responsibility point of view. Yes, there is a deficit of close to 300 million ringgit, but it's a deficit that Selangor can afford to undertake. It's a bigger deficit than last year, but it's a deficit we can afford because we have reserves of 3 billion ringgit, and so we can tap a little bit into that. But we still are maintaining a healthy reserves in case the pandemic gets worse. We are able to kick in more initiatives down the road. It's balanced in the sense that we are only spending 52% of the budget on operational expenditure, and 48% of the budget is going towards development expenditure. So And all around, you know, you talked a little bit earlier about the broad themes of the budgets. We are hitting the green agenda, the climate change agenda. We are hitting digitalization, public health beyond COVID into other areas of public health and to stimulate the economy, to kickstart the economy again. In fact, I'm impressed to hear my colleague from UMNO being magnanimous enough to admit that it was a good budget on his part.
Now, let's focus on this budget deficit. Okay, you say it's not really an issue because there's 3 billion or reserves at this current juncture. But at the same time, how should the state actually improve its revenue sources?
Personally, I look forward to diversification of revenue because right now we are getting a lot of revenue from land premium. So land premium comes from renewing of leases. That's a smaller amount, and a larger amount of land premium comes when land is converted, say, from a palm oil estate to a township or from an industrial plot of land to commercial plot of land. That's when the state collects land premium. So while for the next few years, the land premium would be coming in steadily, we're talking about changing the landscape of our income in the horizon of the next 20 years for sustainability. So we need to have more discussions on how do we change that. Do we increase land taxes? Do we create new other sources of revenue? That is something that we should be talking about, but it's not something that it's in dire crisis in this next couple of years.
All right.
It's something that we need to talk for the next generation.
And piggybacking on this discussion of sustainable development and green environment, which this Selangor Budget 2022 does put an emphasis on, at the same time, though, the state has come under fire over decisions related to forest gazettement this past year. So my question to you is, do you think the government is doing enough to address concerns raised, or are they really just brushing things under the carpet or kind of, you know, not really responding to concerns?
Okay. In all fairness, yes, there was a lot of criticisms. In fact, I was one of the very vocal critic over the forest gazettement. And I went toe-to-toe with YB Heloy Sen in the State Assembly in the last sitting over the gazettement. And I'm glad that we managed to turn that around. So there are some decisions that we will disagree with the state government. But by and large, compared to all the other state governments in the country, I think Selangor has put in the most towards a green agenda. We are looking at mitigating floods, preparing for the effects of climate change. We are looking at green energy beyond any other state government in the country. So, I mean, if you look at apple to apple, state government to state government, by no means is Selangor the largest spender in the country. I mean, Terengganu has a bigger budget than us. Sabah and Sarawak have far bigger budgets than us. But I think no other state can come close to what we are pushing forward when it comes to the green agenda.
Okay, in the meantime, I just want to do a bit of a channel check. I mean, what's the sentiment on the ground in your constituency with regards to the pandemic recovery? I mean, of the key initiatives that we mentioned earlier on, the five, I mean, what is most important to them?
I think in this part of the state, the economic recovery is probably the key one. I think a lot of businesses have suffered devastating drops of revenue. Economy is picking up, but we need to stimulate the economy. So I appreciate the state government's efforts to stimulate the economy. This does not really involve much expenditure. And as the MB rightly pointed out, it's about ease of doing business in order to get business going again. And even I myself have urged the state government to consider bringing forward the capex revenue of Selangor, because Selangor has a 30 billion ringgit 30-year plan when it comes to capex. We should bring forward some of those projects to kickstart the economy now. We should bring forward renewable energy projects. Now, renewable energy projects are largely funded by SEDA. They have the Renewable Energy Fund, but the coordination that it needs to go into place to get the projects to take off the ground. And this is where the state government could play a better role in improving ease of doing business to make sure that, to facilitate the projects taking off so that kickstarts the economy.
Okay.
So I think if we get billions of projects moving, that will certainly help.
Okay, because this morning we were running a poll on Twitter asking, you know, the Malaysians what do they think should be the top priority for the Selangor state government. And actually close to 54% of them say improve the public infrastructure, while 27% say social welfare programs and 19% say facilitate investments. So it clearly seems like I'm you know, we don't really know who voted, who are the, you know, what's the background of the voters. But clearly there's a bit of issue in regards to Selangor's infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, is it going to be addressed?
I mean, I take note. I appreciate the feedback. And I would appreciate, I mean, I'm on Twitter, Rajiv for Malaysia. If any of those who voted for infrastructure improvement would like to share more what specifically you would like to see done, please feel free to do so.
Rajiv, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. It's always good having you. That was Rajiv Vishakaran, State Assemblyman for Bukit Gasing, giving us his reactions to the Selangor Budget 2022. Speaking quite optimistically about the initiatives put forward there, especially with regard to the green environment and sustainable development. I do think he makes some interesting points, some fair points as well. And these were also echoed by the earlier commentator we have, which was YB Muhammad Imran of Sungai Panjang, who also said that overall it's an okay budget. Mm.
There was almost bipartisan agreement, wasn't there, with regard to the budget, that they were pretty pleased with it. The deficit was something that, you know, is not exorbitant considering the state has 3 billion or reserves. But for me, I think the one thing I would like the state to consider is this diversification of state revenue. And it's not a next generational thing, if you ask me. It's a thing that you have to think about today, because you need to put in place all your investment plans as to where the state is heading to attract the right kind of FDI so that you get a nice steady increase of state revenue annually so that you can actually then have the money to carry out all the policies that you want, be it, you know, improving the digital infrastructure or even just the public infrastructure, which is what our poll, I mean, that's what our poll tells us.
If I can just read a comment from one of the people who responded, Wal says that there are too many junctions and traffic lights, there's too much traffic jam in the city, and public transport connectivity needs further improvement. And I think this will be a common gripe for many urban dwellers, especially those who rely on public transport or those who have to commute across the state to get to where they work, for example.
Yeah, the other thing we didn't get to ask is, you know, this 52% of the budget is used for administrative expenses, right? So it's operating expenditure versus capital expenditure. So I'm just curious, in these leaner times where state revenue, of course, has been impacted because there's been a slowdown in economic activity, are there going to be cost-cutting initiatives within the government? And this is something we ask the federal government as well, right? Whether they're spending money wisely, whether anybody's checking whether the money is being spent on its actual purpose. There is no wastages. And I think this is just good government public policy.
Absolutely. Something for us to definitely keep an eye on. Okay, let's just recap how our poll did. We had 150 votes in. As you mentioned, Shaoning, 54% said they wanted to improve public infrastructure. 19% wants to facilitate investment. And 27% say they would want more focus on social welfare programs. And I think that just reflects how diversified I think the residents of Selangor are, where you've got the very concentrated urban dwellers and also those in the rural agricultural
sector.
Their
needs are different, right?
Very different. It's something worth exploring for sure.
Yeah, but I think one thing that we should actually consider is ultimately at the end of the day, the economic development of the state. And he's rightly pointed out something where there's this push and pull in that the state derives most of its revenue from land, right? Now, many questions about the level of land development in Selangor. Is it too congested? Is there too many projects? Is there overdevelopment? And I think if we move away from using land as a means for a state to actually build its coffers, probably better in the longer term.
All right. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.